have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It's issue number 51. We've kind of gotten over that first hump, I guess. And joining me, who will be joining me every week, unless we take a week off or vacations are coming about, our new co-host, Eric. How are you doing tonight?
I'm sorry.
That's all
right. You said over the hump, and I just immediately started thinking, hump day, yeah. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right.
Mike.
There you go.
I'm doing pretty good. At least, you know, we don't have the issues with that other organization, but I think actually they might have infiltrated your computer.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra! Oh.
Those darn pesky Hydra agents. It's Hail like Hydra. You cut off one Hail head, Hydra! Two more take its place.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell you what, we got quite a bit of news this week, and possibly some news from last week. Actually, no, I think we got enough news to cover from this week. We did take a week off last week, only because my daughter's birthday party was last weekend, and it was just crazy nuts.
Well, you know, sometimes a birthday just kind of has to come in between this.
Oh, yeah. Well, unfortunately, it was a Frozen birthday party, and we just
let it go, Mike.
We just couldn't let it go.
Let it go, Mike.
I don't know.
Cold the, never bothered me anyway.
Oh, it's bothering me right now. Down here. You step outside right now, and you just want to go, do you want to build a snowman? Well, if it would snow here in Florida, I bet you I probably would be.
Oh, I can believe it. And here's the thing. All right, by Sunday, we can say when we're recording this, right?
Yeah, we're recording on Thursday
before airtime. Airtime on Sorcerer Radio is Saturday night. So
correct.
Tomorrow, by the time you're hearing this now, tomorrow it will be Sunday, and the high here in Birmingham is supposed to be 71.
Wow.
71 from less than a week before it was like 30.
Our high on Sunday is supposed to be 81.
I'm sorry. You're just... This is just wrong.
Well, this past week, it's... You know, we've had 30s, 40s, you know, as our lows, and, you know, 50s, 60s as our highs.
I think we need to get that Blizzard guy back from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, just, you know, set this weather right.
This is true.
Speaking of which, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now on Netflix, or coming to Netflix.
Yes, yeah. How great is that? Now be able to catch up on season one.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to make it easy to go from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. into Daredevil.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, they're doing some casting for Jessica Jones. We're not going to cover that really this week because, I mean, it's just, you know, the only real news about it is there's a few actresses.
Two actors and four actresses.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of like the mid-range of American Idol where you get down to, like, you know, the final contestants and all.
Correct. So, but we can talk about Marvel's Captain America Civil War. We do have some casting there. Daniel Bruhl,
mm-hmm.
who is in Rush and in Glorious Bastards, has been cast to join the gang on Captain America's Civil War. All that's been said about him is with Daniel's ability to deliver intense, nuanced performances.
We have college degrees, everybody.
Yes, we do. It's just, I can't talk tonight. We knew we have found yet another great actor to share the screen with some of our biggest heroes, said Kevin Feige. they don't go into detail on what type role he's playing or who he's playing. But we'll have to see. So I guess guessing what type of speculation we have on who or what would he be playing.
I almost think he might make a good Baron Zemo.
Good. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
But if they are actually going through with the Civil War storyline, like with the Superpowered Registration Act and what have you, you know, there's no telling who he could be.
True.
I mean, he could be freaking Baron Mordo for all we know.
Yeah, who's to say that, you know, as we know with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, they Hollywoodize or dramatic license story arcs. So who's to say they might not take some from the original Civil War and take some from the Civil War that's coming out as well?
It's a very good question.
So,
we can say probably with a fair degree of certainty there won't be any mutants in it.
True. And no spiders.
Even
though that's rumored, they might be working out a deal. But
it's in Columbia's best interests to work that deal out.
I don't know if they're shooting themselves in the foot though with the announcement last week of a Aunt May movie as potentially being the female led Spider-Man. I'm like,
yeah.
You put that out and Disney's got control over Spider-Man again. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Unless you're just trying to completely reboot Aunt May, like doing what they are doing with Agent Carter. Okay, go back in time with Aunt May.
Right.
You know, that's the only way I could see that actually working.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know there was the Aunt May comic briefly, you know, very short run.
Trouble, wasn't it? Wasn't that what it was called? Trouble?
I think so.
Yeah, that was not a mainstream Marvel. It's like what I think it was under their Epic banner, which
right.
means it's more adultish. So it's not canon, as we like to say in the Star Wars community.
True.
So,
speaking of Star Wars, if I can get my stuff to pop back up. Where did it go? Oh, there it is. Join the dark side with Marvel's put out an exclusive first look at Darth Vader, the book that I believe releases in February.
Mm-hmm.
With two issues kicking off the Sith Lord's first ongoing series in February, is an opportunity to revisit the classic Star Wars saga from a different perspective. Now, for the first time anywhere, if you go to marvel.com, you see some artwork, preview art from Darth 1 and 2. And this stuff is just absolutely, I mean, the artwork's amazing. Issue 1
the artwork is truly top notch. And I'm one of those, I actually liked the idea of Star Wars coming back to Marvel. Don't get me wrong, Dark Horse did incredible work with their Star Wars titles, but
right.
as a kid growing up, I ate the Star Wars comics from Marvel. I ate that stuff up.
Oh yeah,
and it was great. I mean, I wish I still had some of the ones that I collected as a kid. I mean,
yep.
yes, and hey. I'm giddy. I'm almost giddy. And this sneak peek, it only makes me giddier.
Oh yeah. Well, I know issue 1 is going to be 48 pages, which is going to be the typical $4.99 price from Marvel. Issue 2 is going to be 32 pages, which is your $3.99 price. And they go on sale in February of 2015. The little preview for the two books is the original Dark Lord of the Sith stars in his first ongoing series, or at least the first ongoing series for Marvel. Ever since Darth Vader made his first on-screen appearance, he became one of the most popular villains to ever haunt an audience's dreams. Now follow Vader straight from the ending of Star Wars: A New Hope, and the pages of Star Wars, and the pages of the all-new Star Wars comic book into his own series, showing the Empire's war with the Rebel Alliance from the other side. Writer is Kieran Gillen and artist Salvador LaRocca. Bring you a sneak peek, again, like I said, at .com. Sora's artwork is just absolutely brilliant on this.
And I love just looking at the preview on the Marvel's website, just because it's very cinematic and it's very, yeah. It is very much a callback to the opening part of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you see in, okay, yes, I'm going to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. So if you're listening to this, go to Marvel's website, look at the freaking thing now. So that way it won't be too much of a spoiler when, you know, when you hear me say it now. But he is coming into Jabba's throne room. And it's so deja vu with the way Luke went in there. It's
right.
Kind of like, yes, I own the place. Yes, I'm Darth Vader. Jabba's just sitting there like, Jabba is not amused.
Uh-uh.
But there's just Vader going in. It's kind of like, ain't nothing but a thing, y'all.
Yep.
It just, yeah, he's owning the place.
Yep.
This is going to be, and to get it from the Empire's perspective, I think that's going to be an interesting take on it.
Yes.
We're all, I mean, it's very much tying into the original trilogy, which is like what episode 7's supposed to do.
Right.
And so it's kind of following in with that. We're getting back in touch with the originals.
Yep.
And I think this is a good spin on it.
I think so. Dark Horse did one quite similar. It was a short story that also ended up being one of the hyperspace comics. And it's Vader being delivered the parts of a certain protocol droid on Bespin. And as he's looking at it and going through the box, you know, he's kind of reliving creating C-3PO.
Yeah.
And doing everything there before it ends up back in the hands of Chewbacca to try to put back together. So yeah, Vader I'm actually looking forward to seeing the different perspective. So, new insight. Now, in December, kind of ringing out the end of 2014, Marvel's going out with a bang, alongside with all new Miracle Man number 1, the debut issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 is being released on December 31st.
And that is definitely a way to start off the new year early.
Yes, and Marvel is making sure comic book stores nationwide are armed and ready to close out 2014 with a bang. Because they are doing launch parties, and fans will be able to receive special items exclusive to these two books. So,
like,
variant covers. Two-sided S.H.I.E.L.D. trading cards, Scotty Young lithographs. Those right there is awesome.
Yeah, but the big question is, will they be offering test drives in Lola?
I wish.
Don't we, though?
I wish. And it makes me almost wonder, too, if the initial Lola is the car of the future that Howard Stark was debuting in a Tucker-like fashion in Captain America, the First Avenger.
You know, I never thought about that, but considering how Howard co-founded S.H.I.E.L.D., that would not surprise me. It would not surprise me if we saw the original Lola and didn't really even realize it.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So, let's see. Also, too, possible Fantastic Four plot details might have been leaked.
I think you had it right the first time.
I know I had it right the first time.
Yeah, what we got in the military here, we call that a cluster. Well, that's not all we call it, and it rhymes with duck.
And what, sometimes we call it FUBAR.
Yeah.
And
with two Fs for Fantastic Four beyond all recognition.
True, true. The news stories on this is just, yeah. So this might be a spoiler alert. We're just not exactly sure, because again, it's rumor, it's hearsay, pure speculation.
I'm actually hoping that this is nothing more than a giant trolling attempt on the part of the actors and the creative team. I'm really hoping this is the case.
I
am. If that's
too.
The case, well played, guys. Well played. But
if it's not, oh Lord, help you.
If what we've heard, should we go ahead and spoil it?
That was my next step.
Let's go ahead and spoil it. If you're listening to this, you don't want to hear it. You actually are wanting to hold out some positive thoughts about the upcoming Fantastic Four reboot. Turn down your volume for just the next few minutes.
But hoping this is going to be a great reboot, yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath on it.
Yeah.
Reed is a genius convenience store clerk. So Reed is now Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
So Reed is a genius convenience store clerk with Ben. Reed's parents don't care about him, and Ben's dad is abusive. They're good friends and have each other's backs. Ben writes a paper for a community college on teleportation that attracts the attention of Dr. Franklin Storm, CEO of the Baxter Building Research Center. Storm has a son, Johnny, and an adoptive daughter, Sue. So we knew somewhere.
Yeah, we knew probably, there was some adoption somewhere.
Exactly. Or, yeah, only way it could work. Or children from previous marriages that came together.
That's true. Now, I mean, yes, blended families. It's like, well, he takes from the black side of the family. She takes from the white side. It just, I'm not, yeah.
Well, it could have been divorced parents and the mom and the dad. Or dad and the mom got together, and they're stepbrothers. Yeah, that was always a thought, too. So going adoptive, okay, still accept it, but still not right.
That has now become the least of the issues with
at this
the
point,
Fantastic Four reboot.
At this point, with what's coming, that whole issue, and I think a lot of the issue that the fans had was, either make them both black or both white. Don't do the split. You know, no one has a problem with those two being Oriental, being black, being Indian, being whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, how do you explain? But here's how they explain how Sue has been adopted by the Storm family. Sue, whose father was Storm's old partner, died in an experiment gone wrong. So Sue's father dies in an experiment. I guess Dr. Storm.
Dr. Storm adopts her. Yeah, that's cool.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Johnny and Sue are party kids. Well, fits Johnny's attitude.
Yeah.
But Sue,
not so much.
And Sue is particularly disdained of science. Reed and Sue don't get along at first. Okay, that's fine. It's the beginning.
You've got Kevin Smith meets the Kardashians.
I was going to say Jennifer Garner, but it's okay.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because she's come out and said she does not like Kevin Smith.
Yeah, well.
Now, here's another part that changes, and I think this is more of an atrocity than the brother-sister relationship. Victor Dumashev is an...
Did you say Doofenshmirtz?
Might as well be. Is an antisocial Eastern European computer programmer and hacktivist who calls himself Doom. He hates the 1%, particularly Storm, whom he claims corrupts science for profit. Storm uses Reed's paper to complete some equations on a machine to access another dimension, the end zone. Sounds like football now.
It does. Okay, you know, Reed Richards for the touchdown.
Reed invites Ben to watch the machine being turned on. Sue and Johnny are also there. Doom manages to hack into the Baxter Building servers and use a computer virus to damage the machine, which explodes. Okay, why do I have a feeling they're now taking the storyline from The Flash, from DC? This is Fox, mind you. Not Marvel, not Disney. This is Fox that's authorized this. Ritsu, Johnny, and Ben are exposed to otherworldly energy and become mutants with powers that they can't control. And you can watch this all on the CW.
Yeah.
Storm.
You'll probably watch it better on the CW.
Storm takes them to the Baxter Building and creates containment suits for their powers. Really? Containment suits? They begin to train. Reed and Storm also begin to develop a way to revert the accident. Sue blames Reed for everything, but eventually becomes friends and then a couple. So they're going to do all this within a 2-hour movie?
2 hours. 2-hour movie.
Ben can switch off his powers when he's not in danger. No, once you're the thing, thing.
No. Once you're the thing, you can't unthing.
Exactly.
Unless you like that goofy NBC cartoon on Saturday mornings way back in the day where you could become the thing by putting two rings together and then taking them apart. Yeah, that, no, no. Yeah.
If they're
drawing, we try to forget that.
Next, you're going to say there's Herbie the Robot in this, too. I know.
We're just saying that there has not been anything denying that.
Johnny changes colors based on heat intensity, and Sue has some borderline telekinetic thing. Reed is pretty much Reed.
Now, when you say Johnny changes color based on heat intensity, are we talking like blue flame, white hot flame, yellow flame, red flame? Or are we talking changes colors as going from black dude to white dude?
Yes to all. Because they don't get into detail about this. They just say he changes colors based on heat intensity. So it makes us wonder.
It makes sense. The color of the flame, because different intensity flames do have different colors.
Right.
So that part, I am trying to find things in this whole plot that I am not nauseated by. That I'm trying very hard to like what I am hearing, or at least parts of it.
The best thing I could say is it's a fantastic flop. Don't try and find things that you can grasp for excitement on. You're going to be disappointed.
Well, if this is not a major trolling attempt, if this is not like a major hoax, then as much as I'm probably going to start off my tenure on this show by getting hate mail, I say put it out there. Green light that thing and just run it. Take it out there. Take it direct to video if you have to, because the sooner that movie gets made, the sooner those rights come back to Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a reason why Marvel is ending the Fantastic Four. And if this is any type of truth, Marvel, thank you. That's all I got to say. But there's still more to this. Doom finds out that the Four have acquired powers and becomes angry that it's not him. So he comes up with a plan to break into the Baxter Building to access the end zone through the rebuild machine. As a distraction, he reprograms a bunch of stolen military drones, the Doombots, to attack the building. The Four come together as a team for the first time and save people, as opposed to what? Watching them fall to their death? Doom activates the machine and gets technopathy powers, or something basically like energy blasts, and making machines obey him. And a fight ensues. The machine goes critical, and in order to prevent it from exploding and destroying the city, the Four push into it, and Storm shuts it off. There's a countdown before it reaches critical mass. Inside the end zone, the Four battle Doom again, and manage to leave him trapped there after he disfigures himself, soaking up too much power. The Four manage to escape, but Ben gets the brunt of it to protect Reed and can't switch back. The machine is destroyed, Doom is gone, and the Four have learned to work together as a team, and Reed vows to find a cure for Ben, and it ends there.
You remember when Roger Corman took a stab at directing a Fantastic Four movie?
Yes, and I think
those were the good old days.
That movie should be released instead. Cheesy effects and all. That movie should be released
instead. Yeah, yeah. I can handle Reed being Kevin Smith. I can handle the interracial Storm family. Again, that's my least... I can't object to that. I have no objections to that.
Right.
And that's probably the only part of this movie that I don't.
But Ben being the Wonder Twins by himself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Doofenshmirtz Doom being... He's a blogger hacktivist who steals military drones and is mad because the one percenters have powers and he doesn't.
We might as well make him emo as well.
Oh, he probably will be.
So, anyhow, on that note, let's take a quick break. And we'll be right back with Eric and Mike here on Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join We Be Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to We Be Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at WeBeGeeks.net. We Be Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness.
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio, SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It is Mike and Eric. You're not hearing Woo-hoo! Things. Eric is new co-host of the show. So, man, doing triple duty for Sorcerer Radio.
I know.
Between SORCOM Review and After Dark and now Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Hey, you know what? I'm just in demand. I'm just happy to help and do whatever I can.
Well, I appreciate it.
That
you.
Sounded lame and cheesy, didn't it? Hey, well, I get to talk Marvel crap.
There's nothing wrong with that. And unfortunately for Eric, audio might sound a little off. He's having to use a different device because Hulk.
Yeah, my...
That was the recording right before Eric's computer.
Yeah, there you go.
So, we're working with Hulk to get it.
I think Dr. Doofenshmirtz Doom has, like, infected my computer.
Yeah, possibly. It's
I'm gonna start calling the Fantastic Four reboot Doctor Doom Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
It's the Fantastic Flop with Dr. Von Doofenshmirtz.
There you go.
So, director James Gunn talks about Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. The digital Blu-ray or the digital version of the movie is out now. So you can grab that, I believe, on Google Play and iTunes and wherever else you get digital movies.
Yeah, I'm holding out for the Blu-ray on December 9th, though.
And I was going to just say Blu-ray DVD on December 9th. I have not heard if they're doing with this like they've done with Thor, like they did with Captain America Winter Soldier, where if you want the complete movie and all the bonus materials, you had to buy a copy at Walmart, copy at Target, copy at Best Buy, copy at whatever.
I can only hope that they have learned their lesson from that.
I would have thought so with Thor, but nope. Here comes Captain America with the same thing.
Yeah. That bothers me because I am a behind-the-scenes and making-of junkie.
Same here.
I mean, it's not... I don't have to have it in 3D. I don't have to have it in surround sound. But, you know, I am a sucker for an audio commentary or a featurette, behind the scenes, what have you.
Oh, yeah. Just,
that's what will get me to buy a DVD or
well,
Blu-ray.
With me being in the business, I am so much a behind the scenes junkie. Because to me, that's just as much fun as the actual movie. Because you see some of the craziness that goes on. Gunn talks a little bit about the movie. Apparently Guardians of the Galaxy is the number one movie of the year, and that wasn't something Gunn anticipated. It's nice to be able to do these interviews and answer questions when I'm not completely terrified.
Have you finally seen that movie?
Oh, I did. I did finally see it.
Okay. And your thoughts?
I can't wait for number two.
Good answer.
I cannot wait for number two. I mean, there were some issues, like any of the movies, that I'm like, okay. Yeah. I think it fell a little flat compared to the hype. I think it was just a hair overhyped, but it was able to survive that overhypeness and not be hurt by it.
Yeah. I mean, it had a slightly different flavor than you thought it was going to have.
Yes.
But... That to me was not a disappointment because I liked the flavor that it had. It felt more like a Star Wars high adventure kind of thing. More, it was not a superhero movie.
No,
it was definitely not a superhero movie. I think that may have been it. People were expecting the next Avengers or the next Captain America, and it just wasn't that.
It was like Star Wars meets Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
which I was okay with. I mean, I had no problems with that. Gunn goes on to explain how the success of Guardians is going to impact the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because who knows how much we've influenced Phase 3. But I think the one thing is that the Guardians are not the backseat to the Avengers. Captain America, Thor, those other movies, they really do support the Avengers and take a backseat to the Avengers in a certain way. The Guardians just do their own thing. It's their own film. When asked about the challenges of introducing a brand new and considerably strange group of characters to an unfamiliar audience, now you got to remember too, this is you know, Guardians was a C, D, maybe F level group in Guardian. I mean, they were considered a garbage comic.
Yeah, and they weren't even the original group of characters by that same name.
No.
I mean, the original ones, correct me if I'm wrong, they are coming out, Marvel's coming out with their own, with their story. They're calling it Guardians 3000 now.
Yes, I believe so.
As a matter of fact, the only character from the original group is Yondu.
Right.
And even then, he's not the same Yondu. Yondu was more of like an Archer Klingon kind of character. I mean, he was almost like a holy man, a warrior monk.
Right.
Not the Michael Rooker Yondu.
True. So Gunn continues, I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy is weird because every day I get somebody telling me their 80-year-old grandmother loved Guardians. It's different. I think it's unique, but I don't think it's that weird. With a sequel already announced as opening May 5th, 2017, it's been moved up from June to May. I think the main thing with moving on is we just can't repeat ourselves. We can't just say, okay, let's start with something sad and shift into something really happy with some music, and let's have the awesome mix working exactly the same way, only with songs from the 80s as opposed to the 70s. That doesn't interest me. Smart man. Smart man.
I mean, you can't put this... This is not a formula movie.
No.
You come back with Guardians 2 and you do the exact same formula, it's going to flop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at X-Men.
Yeah.
Look at Fantastic Flop.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to say. For me, the shift is really about getting to know the characters on a deeper level, knowing them more intimately and uncovering facets of those characters that make them more real to us, because I think the center of Guardians is that people like the characters. Without a doubt. My daughter, who hasn't even seen the movie, her favorite character is Groot.
I am Groot.
Point blank.
Yeah. I do want to see more about the characters. We saw more about Star-Lord in the first one. We get the idea. Although we do want to see who his father is.
Right.
I would love to see how Rocket and Groot came to be friends.
Groot saved Rocket's life, but still took a Chewbacca role. Just a guess.
Probably so. Probably so.
For the upcoming sequel, Gunn had a conception of where to go from early on, because I had ideas for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I knew I was going to do. For that, from the time I was doing the other movie, I had ideas beyond that. That doesn't necessarily mean Guardians of the Galaxy 3, because there's lots of characters in this movie that can go a lot of different directions, and some of the characters I'm most interested in aren't necessarily the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I wonder who he's talking about then.
I don't know. He goes, the noticeable differences between Marvel Comics and the MCU, he addresses, this really is the cinematic universe, and the fun of it for me is I always loved Marvel Ultimate Comics, where they presented a different story from the origins we had gotten used to. We saw characters in a new light and what they were like. They could show up in different places at different ages, and I think that's exactly what the Marvel Cinematic Universe is. You see things in a different light. They've established that very well in the first Iron Man movie, Gunn goes to say.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, Tony Stark says, "I am Iron Man." And that's what the Marvel Cinematic Universe is way of saying, hey, we're different.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, DC has got a lot of catching up, and I don't think they are, especially since they're keeping the TV universe separate from the movie universe. Unlike Marvel, they're saying casting might not interact with each other, but it all is the same timeline.
Yeah, I mean, they are connecting, and they do connect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the movies.
Right.
I mean, do we need to look any further than the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.? You know, events that took place in Winter Soldier are pretty much dictating where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes from here.
Right.
And there will be ripple effects, and I'm just wondering if we're going to see Agent Morse as Mockingbird in Age of Ultron?
Good question.
Because she was with the West Coast Avengers for the longest time.
Yep.
And this is supposed to have a new Avengers team at some point, is it not? Or at least that's the rumor.
There is supposed to be a new Avengers team. Yeah.
So if
some of that speculation is, you know, we're going to see Black Panther, we're going to see Doctor Strange, potentially Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little bit of the new Avengers. If Marvel had Fantastic Four back, I'm sure we'd probably see Reed Richards and see more of the more Illuminati aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing that turn into a West Coast Avengers instead.
Well, you've got
split
Hawkeye.
The country.
You've got Hawkeye.
Right.
You'd have Mockingbird. And, Iron Man... I can't remember if Iron Man was part of the West Coast Avengers at one point.
I don't believe he was.
No, he was. He was always East Coast.
I don't remember right offhand.
Yeah.
Tigra,
I remember that. I remember her. God.
Give me a second. I'm looking it up.
Yes. I hate trying to answer questions without a computer. How did we get along without computers? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Well, we wouldn't be having this show, for one thing.
This is true. Okay, West Coast Avengers. Our team makeup was... Oh, where'd you... Come on. Give me my list. I hate having to do this on the phone. List of West Coast members. And we have... Hawkeye.
Okay.
Mockingbird.
Okay.
War Machine.
Okay. That's where I was thinking of Iron Man.
Wonder Man.
Okay.
Who I've heard some speculation that people would like to see Agent Ward slowly turn into Wonder Man.
You know, I really see Agent Ward becoming more the Punisher.
Yeah.
I think that would suit him better.
Right.
Because he's been the bad guy, he's been the good guy, and now, I mean, he said he was loyal to Garrett, not to Hydra.
Correct.
So, yeah. I can almost see him Punisher.
Then you also had Tigra.
Mm-hmm.
And then recruited by Hawkeye to be a part of the West Coast Avengers. We did have Iron Man. We did have Thing. Mm-hmm. Dr. Pym. Ant-Man is coming out.
Ant-Man is coming out.
Moon Knight, which I was disappointed was not in the list for Phase 3.
But you know, I think they were referencing Moon Knight in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, they were.
Because, when Sitwell was rattling off the list of potential targets for the Insight program, he mentioned the TV anchor in Cairo.
Yep. Well, who's to say, too, that he won't do a Black Widow Hawkeye type role and just be a support character with the movies?
That's possible, too.
Let's see. You have Firebird, the Wasp, Scarlet Witch, and Vision.
Scarlet Witch.
Uh-huh.
What movie could she be coming up in?
I don't know. I might have to pull some strings to get that info.
Yeah. I mean, you've got some core members of the West Coast team.
Yep.
Going to be in Age of Ultron.
And then they say other recruits, U.S. agent.
Mm-hmm.
Which could also be
Winter Soldier.
No.
U.S. Agent was not.
It was John
US
Frank
Agent
Walker.
He was the replacement Captain America.
Right.
But I'm just saying Winter Soldier could fill that role.
True. Human Torch. And we're talking
the original Human Torch.
Android, right.
Yeah.
Quicksilver, Machine Man, Living Lightning, Spider-Woman, and Darkhawk. And we're not going to get into the honoraries. Well, there's only two. Shroud and Moira Brandon. So.
I would like to see a Darkhawk treatment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked that title when it first came out. I just thought it was kind of a neat concept.
Now, speaking of Captain America, Civil War, and Phase 3, Marvel has already indicated that Frank Grillo is prepared to return and reprise his role of Brock Rumlow. which most of you guys know is the villain Crossbones.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice, in Winter Soldier, it took a lot to notice it, but when they were like, when he was wounded, they had him on the stretcher and they were tending to him, I noticed the crossed bands across his chest, and I'm just thinking, ooh, nice subtle foreshadowing there.
Yep. So, that was announced around the same time that Brawl was announced. So, that's going to be interesting. Now, the one that I found that we had talked about, and of course, Guardians lends to it. You remember the Tahiti episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And they go into the Tahiti room.
And you see the giant alien half-Smurf in there?
Yep. Well, it's the alien race has officially been revealed. And it will be made official in the December 2nd episode of the series. The blue half creature, is Kree.
Kree. Who called it? Everybody, raise your hands. Who called it?
To hide it? Shame on you, Marvel. Everyone pretty much knew right away because we saw a little bit of Kree in what other movie?
Guardians.
But this came out. That episode came out before Guardians. Was it a brief appearance in Avengers, maybe, at the end, in the cutscene with Thanos?
No, he was the other. It's like the other was talking to him. It wasn't, I don't think it was a Kree.
Okay. In an interview with TV Guide, S.H.I.E.L.D. executive producer Jeffrey Bell has confirmed that the blue alien found in the guest house is a member of the Kree race. His quote, "Our people don't know anything about the Kree or that there's a planet full of them," Bell says. "What they do know is the strange carvings created by Coulson after he was injected with the Kree serum are actually a map of a city, and they need to find that city before Hydra does. But where is it? Here or on another planet?" Time for a Guardians crossover, maybe?
I'm thinking if anybody would know the Kree, well, it would be our Guardians.
Maybe this is where we might see an appearance of Nova, maybe. That's an idea.
This would all set up a Nova movie, a Nova cameo, if nothing else. Just very well.
Introduce your Nova before the next Guardians movie through S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. That's an idea. You guys listening? We just help set up a great storyline that can drive ratings up.
Yep.
As the prominent blue-skinned alien race of the Marvel Universe, fans have long suspected that the alien was Kree. Chloe Bennett, who plays Skye, basically confirmed this as true in an interview last year and then tried to backtrack. The confirmation the alien is Kree and the Kree's connection to the Inhumans would make it pretty strong evidence that the city everyone on the series is looking for is the Inhumans' home, Atelion, and that Skye herself is likely an Inhuman.
Makes sense. Now, Kree were also mentioned in the episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where Sif comes in.
Yep.
Because this was after Coulson had seen the Kree in the tube, and after he injected Skye with the Kree squeezins, and he just asks her, it's like, "Do you know of any races that have blue skin?" And she starts rattling off this list, and the Kree was one of them. And he's just kind of like, "Wow, I was so not expecting that."
Yeah.
One of the few times that you're going to catch Coulson completely flat-footed.
Yep. So, other than that, I think it might be time for that part of the week that we do so well. And of course, this week we're only going to bring you three because of issues beyond our control. But
we are experiencing technical difficulties.
I think Eric Jarvis didn't have you completely authorized yet.
You are not authorized to access this area.
We'll have to work
on
that.
You had one job, Mike.
Hey,
one job.
I turned everything in. It was up to Jarvis.
So you're throwing Jarvis under the bus? Ka-doom, ka-doom. Hey, you hear that, Jarvis? That's Mike throwing you under the bus.
For you, sir, anything.
There you go.
But before we get into the picking on Jarvis anymore, I think it's that time.
And it is time for the Mighty Marvel Geeks Picks of the Week. This will be for November 26th, that day before Thanksgiving, in which we will have no show next week. We're going to take our time off ourselves for Thanksgiving and just enjoy.
We'll be recovering from the tryptophan and the turkey that we're going to be eating.
Yes. Oh, Lord, yes. The three picks that we got for this week, I'm going to bring up each one, and I'll have you do color commentary after. First pick of the week is by writer Joe Caramagna, guest of the show. It's Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors number one. This is the Marvel Universe is the line based on books based on the cartoon series, where it's been, you know, brought from TV, you know, brought from the screen to paper. The start of an all-new era of adventure as Spider-Man teams up with the Marvel Universe's greatest heroes. Spidey joins Captain America in a raid on the fortress of Dr. Doom to retrieve Cap's lost shield. Based on the smash hit on Disney XD, Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors. So what's your take on the first one?
My take on the first one, first of all, what I want to know, Cap, how did you lose the shield in the first place? This is not like an iPhone. It's not going to just fall out of your pocket somewhere.
The poker match, maybe?
No, that would be the Millennium Falcon.
Oh. Shenanigans with Emma Frost?
Ooh, now that's a thought. That's a mental image that that's going to linger. yes. I don't know. I can't help but get in my head that Doom is primarily a Fantastic Four villain.
Right.
Yes, I know he's tangled with the Avengers. Yes, I know he's even tangled with Spider-Man. He's kind of like, you know, you're nobody until you cross paths with Dr. Doom in the superhero world.
Right.
But in my mind, he's always going to be the Fantastic Four's baddie. And it just seems odd that
we have a triple
he
crossover.
Would be the bad guy in this. Yeah, yeah, it's a triple mashup.
Yeah. Well, my number two pick, and part of the reason why I went with this was the Pirates of the Caribbean look to the cover. Yeah. Cyclops number seven.
Mm.
And it's a great looking cover. The bad news... Go ahead. The bad news, the Starjammers are about to die. The good news, Cyclops is no longer a Starjammer. Scott Summers is aboard a new space pirate ship with a cruel cutthroat captain and a crew of criminals and killers. None of them trust Scott, and just a few just might want to kill him. But hey, the captain's daughter is kind of cute, right?
I am so out of the loop on Cyclops, then, if the captain's daughter is cute and there's no Jean Grey in the picture or Emma Frost in the picture, I am going to just confess I am out of the Cyclops loop.
Well, like I said, it's the cover that drew me to this issue this week.
I have seen this cover, and yes, I agree with you. It does have a strong Pirates of the Caribbean look to it, and I love the visor across the skull. I think that is that is a very awesome, and it was appropriate that he was with the Starjammers, considering his dad was one of them.
Right.
So I'm just kind of think, Scott don't make moves on somebody other than Gene or Emma. So I'm just, yeah, that's hard for me to wrap the head around.
Well, what happens in space ends up on the pages of a comic book.
It's no what happens in Vegas, but I'll take that.
Third pick for this week, and our final pick for this week, is Captain America and the Mighty Avengers number two. Once Luke Cage was the man of the people, a champion of the community, a hero for everyone who needed help. But there's a new Luke Cage in town, and the only one he's helping is himself. Plus, Captain America declares war on the Mighty Avengers.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. He just... Sam just creates the group and is now declaring war on the group. Interesting.
Yeah. Is it... Okay, now this is the new Sam Wilson Captain America.
Correct.
The flying Captain America, yes.
Correct. The War Eagle himself, so to speak.
Considering I'm an Auburn graduate, thank you very much.
Didn't mean to go there, being an LSU fan, but I'll give you that one.
All right. That'll be interesting. So he just created the team, and all of a sudden he's saying, "I don't like you anymore. I'm going to destroy you all.
I'm taking my ball and I'm going home after I blow you up." Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the way that you're going to win friends and influence people.
No. So anyhow, that's going to kind of wrap it up for us this week. Again, I'm pleased to announce that Eric is going to be joining the show full time. And where can they find you on the internet, Eric?
Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at Uncle Servo for the Marvel stuff and for Disney stuff at Sorcom Review.
Okay. You can follow us here at Marvel Geeks on Twitter. Also, check out the Facebook page to see who won the 50th anniversary prize pack as well. And I do not remember right offhand, but it's okay. We'll make a big deal about it next week when hopefully all computers are working. Yeah. That's something we'll have Jarvis work on for next week or 2 weeks from now. But other than that, until next time, I think we need to do like they do on S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think it's time for us to go dark.
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.